I'm Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, inspiring you to take the lead and be a force for change in your industry, your organization, and your own life. It's about being endlessly curious, making a difference, connecting with your purpose and with yourself, and taking the brilliant gamble of releasing the punk underneath your suit. Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are really, really well. I'm not 100% today. I've got a bit of a cold. You might be able to hear it. I can't breathe through my nose properly, and my left ear is kind of blocked up. I think this is a combination of a bit of jet lag and a bit of just being a bit run down at this time of year. But, you know, I'm here and I'm feeling good. However, I was not feeling good, and it was nothing to do with my physical health a couple of days ago. And that's really what I want to talk to you about. Today's podcast is about the belly of the whale. Now, in last week's show, I was talking about paralysis and how if you take too much on, if you think of change as having to be massive and you wait until it has to be massive, then you may not be able to get started. And it's much better to do little tweaks and to make small gains and small forward movements, not in every area of your life simultaneously. Well, I have an admission. I've done too many tweaks in too short a period. And that is quite common amongst people who like action. So people who, certainly once they've got over the paralysis, then want to get going, want to get started. You know, you're very excited about your idea. You've got lots of ideas. You can see that the various changes that you want to make are all connected. So you don't quite know where to start. So you start lots of different things at once. And you can see that, well, if I make a change over here, that's going to require a change over there. And you've got a big imagination and a lot of creativity, and you start to see connections everywhere, and you initiate a lot of action. And each one of these things might be a small tweak, but together they add up to a lot of different kind of lines of action, if you think about it in terms of a Gantt chart or a project plan or something like that. So I think that this is quite common. It's not that people like me don't suffer from the paralysis. Of course we do. But then once we actually get started, then we get started in a really big way. So I can describe to you a little bit about what this moment feels like. And the reason we call it the belly of the whale, I have talked in previous shows about the hero's journey. It's something I'll come back to, particularly as the next few shows are quite specifically about change. The journey of change that I use is based on the hero's journey or the hero's quest, developed in the early part of the 20th century by Joseph Campbell. And it's very interesting. I don't want to talk too much about it now because it's another show. But the point is that in general life, when things are just ticking over, you're in the normal world. It's actually even called the mundane world. Quite disparaging, but that's what it's called. So you're in the normal world and you have the opportunity, some sort of event occurs, some kind of catalytic event occurs that gives you the opportunity to go on an adventure. And normally what happens is that you reject that call to adventure. This is how the hero's journey process works. Our hero is called to adventure, rejects the call, but some sort of second event occurs that propels our hero into the special world and onto their adventure. And that's where the story gets really exciting. Well, the paralysis bit that I talked about last week is the bit before accepting the call to adventure. When the opportunity is there, you can see it at a crossroads ahead, but you're not absolutely convinced yet that this is the right moment or that you're ready to do it or whatever, or that you're capable of doing it. But after that, having accepted the call to adventure, the stage after that is called the belly of the whale. And this is at the point where you've initiated action and basically it's too much. So if I talk about where I was on Friday when it all kind of came to a head, it's too much. I was confused. I wasn't able to describe my idea or my ideas to anyone. I felt like I'd lost my way and I wished I hadn't started. And, you know, I was very much there, and I probably still am to a certain extent, although having taken a few steps around that and at least realised that's where I was, some of the pressure has definitely been lifted. So I've been wanting to talk to you about the belly of the whale for a while, but now it seems like a good time because I'm right in it. There is a theory that you shouldn't talk about the problems you're having when you're right in them. You should talk about them after a little while when you've got some hindsight, a bit of perspective. But I feel like I have to talk it through now with you because I need to be honest with you and I need to be honest with you about the process of change. I don't want you to have the impression that the changes that I go through are kind of shiny and glossy and easy and that somehow I'm able to do change in a much more effortless and graceful way than anybody else. One of the reasons that I put myself into situations where I need to make changes is so I can share my experiences with you. And I mean, of course I do it. I make these changes because they're right for me. I make these choices. I'm not exactly a guinea pig. I'm living my life here. I'm making choices about my life and my family and the house and the dogs and the business because I think those choices are right for us. But at the same time, I want to share with you in real time where it's relevant, the insights that I'm getting from the process of change that I'm going through myself. And that means it's the right moment to share with you some misconceptions and truths about this belly of the whale moment that you may very well suffer from if you really accepted the call to adventure and really taken some bold actions. So there are four kind of misconceptions or myths or tips that insights that I want to share with you. And the first misconception is that you'll know when you're in the belly of the whale. Whenever I talk about this belly of the whale idea in workshops, everyone kind of laughs and shrugs. Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I've definitely been there. But I think that we think that we will recognize it when we're in it. And we'll be able to have a good little laugh at ourselves for the situation that we've got ourselves into. And that we'll be able to shrug it off and get over it very quickly. And this is untrue. Actually, it only occurred to me well after I'd had my little meltdown with my two business besties on Friday. You know, both of them coaching me through my floods of tears about my incredible sense of overwhelm at what I'm trying to do. It had all got too big. You know, nobody said belly of the whale, including me, and we're all aware of the concept. It wasn't until I was driving home from that session that I realised, oh, maybe this is the belly of the whale. So I have a couple of tips to share with you about how to maybe know that you're in the belly of the whale, but you may well forget about them when you're actually in it. You might need to go back and listen to this. Firstly, life feels pretty shit. It feels pretty bad. Now, as I said, I've got a cold and for quite a few days last week, I still had a lot of jet lag. But to be honest, all of these things come together when you're in the belly of the whale. A lot of things in a lot of different areas of life that seem unrelated will feel like they're not working out for you. And that's actually a really good indication that you're in the belly of the whale. Now, I said that these areas may feel disconnected or unrelated. They aren't disconnected. They are often related, and it's often because you've taken on too much in too many different areas of your life because you can see the connections between. If I make a change in my professional life over here, I'm going to have to make a change in my personal life over here, and maybe that's got something to do with the kids, and maybe that's got something to do with how I spend my personal time, my social time. So because you could see even loose connections, you initiated a lot of change and now it's all getting very confused. So that's really how you can know a lot of stuff feels overwhelming in a lot of areas in your life. But I have to warn you that you won't necessarily then be able to say, oh, it's the belly of the whale. Oh, well, fine. I heard about this on Blair's podcast. So that is misconception number one, that you'll know when you're in it. The second myth about the belly of the whale is that you can avoid it. The truth is, and this is my experience in my own life and also helping individuals and teams and organizations through a lot of change for a very long time, is you know, the myth is that if you do change right, you can avoid this feeling. Well, no. If you're serious about change and you mean it, then more than once, I think, you will find yourself in deep doubt about whether this was the right thing to do and overwhelmed, and you've got too many plates spinning and you've lost your way. That is inevitable. According to the Hero's Journey process, there is no bypassing that stage. Now, if you're not feeling like that, that's great. But you may not be in the belly of the whale. That's fine. You may be very happy, very adrenalized by spinning these plates and by having a million things going on at once. But it has been my experience, and it feels like sort of universal experience, that at some point, if you're serious about change, it will become overwhelming and you will be in the belly of the whale. And it's just not for me to say how quickly that's going to happen to you. Myth number three, it's not really a myth, it's actually, it's more of an insight about how to get out of it. So some people believe that you can work your way out of the belly of the whale. You are overwhelmed, but you kind of style it out. You pretend everything's fine, you keep the plates spinning, and you just kind of, you know, you just action your way out of it. I think that when you do that, the belly of the whale lasts longer. Experience has shown me a couple of things work really well. The first is to fess up. Now, you're not fessing up that you're in the belly of the whale. You're fessing up because you may not be able to articulate it in that term, but you're fessing up that you feel overwhelmed and it's too much and you're confused. You talk to some people, you have some people listen to you, people who know you, people who understand you, people whose maybe job it is to listen to, people who aren't going to judge you for where you're at. You download and you're as honest with them about how you're doing as possible. You don't pretend that you're fine about things that you're not fine about, and you share it all. If you are fine, that's great. You're not in the belly of the whale. But if you are feeling lost or stuck or trapped or overwhelmed, then firstly, talk about it. Now, you may not get huge clarity when you talk about it. I did get a bit of clarity from talking to my business besties, but at the very least you'll get a bit of relief. I'm a big believer in a good cry. Even if you're not much of a crier, you can metaphorically cry, you can download, you can express it, you can get it out, you can express your frustration, you can have a good bitch about people or about yourself in an environment where you won't be judged. But the job of this download is not to come to some conclusions, it simply is to get some of the emotion out of your body. And then the next step, having done that, is to do as many stops as possible. Now, you're not going to stop everything permanently, but you are going to stop all actions that give you a sense of overwhelm. So if I just give you an example, I'm in the midst of renovating a camper van, making plans for selling my house, in fact, two houses, getting rid of a lot of stuff in the house, rebuilding a website, learning about online courses, planning the first stages of our trip, and in the first early months of homeschooling. So that's quite a lot. And I feel, or have been feeling like, well, this is the time to do it. You know, we're not traveling until the middle of March. I've got a good 3 or 4 months. I've got lots of time now. If I take a lot of actions now, it's not going to be so stressful at the end. Well, I'm pretty much stopping it all. I'm not going to initiate any new activity unless I feel it's just one little thing. So, you know, if I've got a document that I can easily put in an envelope and take to the post office, I'll do that, but I don't need to do all my paperwork. With the dogs, can get the pet passport. I don't need to organise all the different things that we'll need for the dogs when we hit the road. So stop anything that gives you this sense of rising anxiety. Only do the things that feel easy and simple. And if nothing feels easy and simple, do nothing. We are all very quick to try to make ourselves feel better, to get right back on the horse, to get back to normal fast. And what happens is we feel bad about feeling bad. And I read once a very good definition of depression, which is feeling bad about feeling bad. So it's fine to feel bad. But when you start beating yourself up about that, when you feel unable to forgive yourself for feeling bad, then that is early signs of depression. So it's fine to feel bad. One thing you can stop is feeling bad about feeling bad and trying to get yourself out of that feeling. You know, I really think we're in a society that just does not tolerate people taking a minute to ground themselves again and get back into a sense of inner balance. And we rush ourselves into saying, oh, I'm fine now. Yeah, sorry, I just had a blip, a moment, and I'm back on it. Actually, I'm going to really encourage you to take a moment, to take the advantage of stopping and doing nothing until you feel you can take some actions without that rising anxiety. You will end up going more quickly if you do it that way, even though it feels like you're actually going more slowly. And the fourth insight, it's not really a myth, it's more of a tip that I want to share with you, is just because you're in the belly of the whale doesn't mean that anything's gone wrong. In fact, it's the opposite. It's proof, it's evidence that you're on the journey. You've crossed the threshold of adventure. You are in the other world, a special world. This is very exciting. Well done you. You were very brave. You took action. You could still be on the other side in the normal mundane world, failing to take action. So you didn't. You initiated action and now you're getting a lot of information back from the universe. So this is not bad news. If you give up at this point, now you can scale back your ambitions. It's one of the things that I'm doing. I've got lots of ideas for lots of online classes and courses that I want to offer. And I had this idea that I'd build the whole website before I went live with my first course. But I've decided, actually just in the last couple of days, just to run one without really investing anything in all the technology. All the tech exists already, Zoom, Facebook, lots of different platforms. But so I'm not saying you don't scale back or don't scale back in the short term. That's fine. You can. But don't give up altogether. I'm still ambitious to create an online community. I'm still ambitious to create the site. It's just I don't need to do all that first. So if you can let go of some aspects, and if you can decide, rather than doing something grand, to just do a tweak at this point, then that's going to be one of your ways out of the belly of the whale. It does not mean that everything's gone wrong. It does not mean that you need to give up completely. It certainly does not mean that you need to tolerate the situation that you were in before you took these bold actions. Don't give up. And then, once you've made the decision you're not going to give up, you can just take it a bit easy. So you put on temporary stops on various things, and then you ask yourself, what can I do from where I am, and what can I stop doing? And a part of this that's absolutely critical is to have support around you. My buddies were crucial last week. I knew it was important to meet up with them. I went into our conversation with a different question than the question I ended up asking, or the question that ended up being answered by them. But when I was honest and when they asked questions that provoked me, it really helped me, gave me huge clarity about where I am and what I need. And that in turn, I hope, has meant that I can help you too. So that's it. That's a bit about the belly of the whale. I'm pretty sure we'll come back to it. The Hero's Journey model only has one belly of the whale moment in it. It does have various other tests and you know, points at which you may feel quite down and feel that it's a bit much, but it really only has one major belly of the whale. Unfortunately, I can't tell you whether this is mine. This could just be a prelude to something that is lying in wait for me later on. Or this could be the big one. And all I have to worry about now is the little tests between now and March. But I hope you found that helpful. And if you are in the belly of the whale at the moment, or you suspect you might be, please don't hesitate to get in touch with me at That People Thing. I'll hand you over to Ivy in a moment, who will share with you yet again how you can stay in touch. But please don't hesitate to do that. It's not like I've got so many billions of listeners that I can't deal with individuals who want to talk to me. I will remind you that you can still sign up for the newsletter. One of the things I do have big plans for, which currently are slightly on hold, as I've just explained, but I do have big plans for the newsletter. I think it's going to be a really, really valuable resource in future for tips and advice and information about courses and classes that I'm running and opportunities for you to work with me and to create community with other listeners of this show. And if you sign up now, then you know that as soon as I've got that stuff in place, you will be the first to know. So just go to the website www.thatpeoplething.com and a little pop-up will pop up and you can sign up straight away, and then you'll get all the information as soon as I have it. That's it for me this week. Back again next week, of course. And as I said, with information about how to follow our journey, our brilliant adventure, and how to stay in touch with us here at That People Thing, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
You can follow our travel adventures on Instagram as A Brilliant Gamble and on our Facebook group, also called A Brilliant Gamble. Please join and share your travel stories and other brilliant gambles you've made or you want to make. Plus, for tips, tools, inspiration and resources about leadership and change, you can follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer and on this podcast's Facebook page, Pumps and Soups. And finally, to find out how to work with Mummy as a coach or have her speak about leadership and change at your next event, visit the website at www.thatpeoplething.com. Thank you, hug!